The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Yeah, I know. Because I can't get right. This is cutthroat. This burns as words pop from a snub nose. This Kurt Metzger and not give a fuck mode. Because I can't get right. Because I can't get right. Yeah. You're listening to Can't Get Right.
Hey, this is Can't Get Right with me, Kurt Metzger. And I got a great guest today, a stand-up comic from the UK area, who watching
the general UK area.
Yeah, it's a small area, and he I watch him on Lotus Eater sometimes, and so the reason this is Leo Kirst, and the reason I asked him on was I guess you got canceled recently. That's what the title was. It doesn't sound like it ended up being anything really severe.
Yeah, I get canceled every few months. Recently I did a show at Top Secret Comedy in Covent Garden. It's best club in the world. I did a show there last night. Did my solo show, and then I did their club night as well.
Top Secret?
Top Secret, man. It's amazing. It's amazing. So they've got two rooms. They've got like upstairs is like 150 seats, and downstairs is like 300 seats. So when you're there, they do like two shows. So you do a double in the same building. Mm-hmm. But best atmosphere, always sold out, just like an amazing club. And they really support comedians and sort of more heterodox thinkers, you know, comedians that are cancelled from other clubs can still perform there.
How often is it an issue at clubs? I was in UK years ago, but I was kind of doing like a black comedy tour. It was all like Jamaican. Yeah. So I didn't do all, I did a lot of like clubs that weren't comedy clubs. I didn't do like
the urban circuit.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, I actually had a great time when I was UK, but it are the clubs, and it wasn't at that time very political, like you had to worry about, I don't know, this is like 2010 maybe?
Yeah. 11.
Like, is there, I mean, how much is that a thing at comedy clubs there where, here, I will say this about America, most places, is you get all that canceled bullshit really can't touch your stand-up as much as it would try. You know, there's some towns where you could get, they'll like cancel your shows. Like I've had that happen to me in like
Nashville,
North Carolina, some dumb town. But I get the impression, but I don't know, that in UK there's more of like some kind of bureaucracy involved in like what jokes you tell. And like getting
it's not so much a bureaucracy. I mean, a lot of venues are council owned, so they're owned by the government. So then you've got to be careful about what you
really
say. Then you know the council can that's happened to bigger comedians who are playing halls like 3,000 seaters or whatever. So it happened to Roy Chubby Brown in Sheffield. So they said that he can't perform there because it doesn't reflect the values of Sheffield Council. It's like, it's not supposed to reflect the values of Sheffield Council. It's like Ai Weiwei, the Chinese dissident artist. It doesn't reflect the values of the Chinese Communist Party. Like, we're artists. We're not a branches of the government. This is why I think all sort of government regulations should be kept out of comedy and the arts.
It's crazy to me that would even be a thing. What we have is like freelance militia. We're a very militia kind of country where everybody just joins a posse. And independently
like Kyle
tries,
Rittenhouse.
Yeah, and they independently try to like the thing that's funny is if you read any I've been through it, but there wasn't a thing called canceling at the time, but it was basically that they were calling it call out culture at the time, and then it escalated to cancel call. So it doesn't really seem they always say, oh, it didn't work. Like, look at it. Chappelle made all this money.
Ah, yeah, it's fine if you're Chappelle. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you're Ricky Gervais, Dave Chappelle, you're too big to be cancelled. It's just advertising for you. If you're somebody like me, you can totally be cancelled. I was cancelled from a venue at the Perth Fringe in Australia. And I mean, the worry for me, because you know what it's like when a comedy club stops booking you, you don't know why. They just stop answering the phone. They stop answering your emails.
Well, like, was it a, they, wait, what quick question. When you say comedy club, do you mean like a showcase club, like the Cellar, or like a road club where you do like an hour?
Or so it's a different, it's a different, the UK's got a different circuit to America. So we don't have, we've just got, we mostly just got clubs, but you can do solo shows in them as well. So Top Secret, you know, they do a club night every night with, it's different to America. We don't have like, you know, a feature act doing, you know, 50 minutes and, you know, then open spots before and stuff. So it'll be like three comedians are all getting the equivalent of like, I guess, you know, $300, $400, $500, and they do like 20 minutes or half an hour, and there's breaks in between. So you know the bar sells lots of drinks, because that's the weird thing about America, man. You go there and it's like minimum two drinks. It's like, man, you never see that in the UK. Everybody's having minimum about five drinks. So that's how the clubs make money. They make money off the bar.
Yeah, right.
And tickets as well. But yeah, so this Top Secret, when they didn't cancel me. They were great, actually. So they got an email from somebody who I don't think was even at the show.
What did you actually do? I don't even know what you said that was so bad.
Well, that's the thing. I didn't say what they said on the email. I'm pretty sure they weren't at the show, because they said I was homophobic, transphobic, and misogynist. And I didn't mention transgender people, so I couldn't have been transphobic. I didn't mention gay people, so I couldn't have been
did
homophobic.
They think you were trans and gay?
And I was very misogynistic, but I mean, one out of three is not bad, you know what I mean? So yeah. I think they were just guessing that I was going to say all that stuff. So the club films everything. They reviewed the footage and saw that, you know, it was nonsense. And also this person who complained, said that they came to see my show in July. And this is billed as my solo show. It's not a random mixed billed show.
Right.
Billed as my solo show. They came to see my show in July and it was just horrific. And then they came back to see it again in October and it was still horrific. It's like, well, stop coming to my show. If you find it horrific, stop coming to my show. Don't even come the first time. Do a bit of research. You know what I mean? I would never go like see Hannah Gadsby and be like, well, this is a pile of shit. And then try
Where's
and you know,
the ball?
Write it.
It was very anti-hetero male.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. I don't Despite think her cool looking her. Like one.
Yeah, I don't think it's cool of her to dress like one of us and then mock us.
Cultural appropriation.
To copy our finest Bunsen Honeydew Muppet outfit. So, okay. It's really weird to me to the thought of you know... It's kind of good, I guess, they could review the tape and see, but it's also crazy. So everything's like PBS, I guess, in a way. Do they have guidelines they give you in these venues now for what you should or shouldn't say?
Nah, because comedy doesn't really need it, because, you know, you're always performing in front of a jury. So you're performing in front of like 200 people. And you
yes.
know, if you say something, you know, so comedy doesn't need to be policed, because we're always in that feedback loop. If we see some. It's horrific that it's societally unacceptable. People won't laugh. They'll get up and leave. They'll complain. So
yeah, right.
we generally don't. And there's always, like, when people complain, it's always just like one person. It's never like, you never get 50 people getting up and going to the front desk and saying this is unacceptable.
Well, the thing, I heard you mention that before, and I very rarely people say it, but it's true. Like, there's already a built-in consequence of sucking in comedy.
Yeah.
They don't enjoy it. The thing you'd be in trouble for is saying something that somebody didn't like, and then they do, and a bunch of people do laugh at it. That makes you more guilty, you know. Remember,
yeah,
it was about when Doctor Who was out with when I was a kid, was that guy Tom Baker, which I always think like the scarf Doctor Who that had the curly, and a bunch of little old ladies were writing letters, is bad for kids. You know, like some childless women.
Oh, were, man.
And they're still alive, just moving through society at all times. Like this childless old lady, like, and another thing.
Well, that's what these people are like now. It's weird. It's just, instead of being like old women with blue rinses who have heard about it at the church group or whatever, now it's like 20-year-olds. It's 20-year-olds with like the fringes. It's still got blue hair, but it's just, you know, it's a different style of blue hair.
Yeah,
and they're the
cut,
ones that are
yeah.
like complaining.
It looks like it's the haircut. It's like I just got out of brain surgery haircut. They always have like one side chunk missing.
Oh, yeah.
Straight from brain surgery. Okay. So, also, my guess is it's probably a low-level comic or somebody with some kind of aspiration, because usually you wouldn't focus on the stand-up comedy beat of policing unless you fancy yourself something of a
yeah,
you know?
I mean,
always some,
yeah,
like,
I mean, as far as I know, it's not another comedian, because they were identifiable to the club, unless somebody set up a fake email, which is possible, because I've had other people, you know, send shit to me, you know, or try and get me in trouble using fake accounts. So yeah, there are a bunch of comedians.
What have you gotten? I remember that. Well, I used to go online a lot, like way too much, and you know, like get into, back in the day, like I would just mock these people like very openly on social media. I was like, who would ever put you in charge of anything or follow anything you say?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out. but like, how did you start drawing attention like that? That you were so.
Oh man, I did a show called Right Wing Comedian, and this really got people's backs up in comedy. You know, they were just incensed that a comedian could have the same political opinions as more than half of the electorate. So, like, for some reason.
So you were a right wing comedian, and I mean, it is funny if you hear the term right wing now, it automatically sounds like it's like, what? Like, it sounds like it's in and of itself a crime.
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then, like, thank God voting happens in private. Because everybody pretends to be left-wing in public and on Facebook and Twitter and stuff. And then when they get in the privacy of the polling booth, they can reveal their true selves.
Well, I think a lot of people, too, are... I think it's like... What is it, like 10% of the population is doing all the Twittering? So
yeah,
it's a very, like, small... They frequently get shocked with, like, you know, say 2016, where they're like, I can't believe Trump won, but all of Twitter was sure.
Yeah.
And, you know... that thing is, because I don't know, now if Twitter gets as bad as, who's the new guy that took over for, I like the guy, who's the guy just, Jack something is the one that just...
Jack Dorsey has left, and then they've got a new guy who's posted, tweeted some pretty racist stuff. I can't remember his name. Jack Dorsey, I could have a goal, but I'd sound racist if I tried.
Jack Dorsey looks like a bad boy John Mulaney. Like if John Mulaney just had a beard and an earring. And the new guy is like I can't remember his fucking name, but it doesn't sound good, his thoughts that apparently came out, which is like, yeah, don't worry about free speech. We're worried about harm reduction. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Do you think that'll drive up all these side? Because I know, dude, there's stuff I
like
make.
Like Gab and Getter and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like Rumble, because this should I do with Kyle Dunnigan, with sketches, like, I think we're going to have to start putting them on multiple platforms just to be on the safe side. He got shadow banned on Instagram.
Yeah, and like, it happens really easily. It's happened to a lot of friends who've been taken down from YouTube and stuff. What's happened to Carl? So Lotus Eaters, you know, this is Carl's, I think it's like his third incarnation. So you know they're using their own website, their own hosting, so you know they can get taken down from YouTube, but it's not really going to affect them or their business continuity or their income. But it is something that comedians have to think about, because big tech is unregulated; it's completely opaque. You've got these billionaire oligarchs that are at the top, and they've got political agendas. I mean, obviously, tech is systemically woke, just the same as academia. And
all those guys at the top, your Bezos, they're all libertarians. Like the idea is you, the little people are gonna, you know, do this shit. Everything now, I found out from a buddy of mine who runs a podcast channel with like Tim Dillon on it. His competition, like Gas Digital, the channel I do my podcast on, as Lewis, like he has to make he makes a profit from customers who want his channel. All these other ones are all venture capital. They all the money comes top down. So that's why everything's, you're like, why is everything made like it's
why
not
is everything
for me?
Shit?
It's like my mom bought it for me.
Yeah. Did you see Quibi?
See what?
Quibi or whatever it's called. Quibi. So this
Quibi. I like me. Creepy's better. I thought you were saying like creepy. Like it's scary.
Man, did you see it? Did you see any of the stuff on it?
I was rejected from a...
They spent $6 billion on that thing. They funneled like $6 billion into it, thinking that's not, like you said, it died in 6 months because it was so shit. They'll give money to Nish Kumar. Man, Nish Kumar probably doesn't have to work again because he did some shit on Quibi. It's all the worst, the wokest, like just the shittest comedians.
Dude, Quibi, okay, so I was going to write for a show for Quibi and they refused me because of past Google shit. I mean, like, I'm not complaining that I missed out on a hot Quibi, but break time. Hey there, auto mechanics. I'm taking a quick break to talk to you, the cool do-it-yourself guys who work on their own cars. I want to talk to you about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best prices. This is your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. RockAuto.com has been in business for 20 years, and they make it easy to find the parts you need at the best possible prices. No more talking to counter guys who need to order your parts, aren't really sure what you're looking for, never have quite what you need, and then after all the hassle, we'll still charge you storefront markups. At RockAuto.com, you can easily find everything you need, and whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop, or working on your own car, everyone has access to the same incredible pricing at rockauto.com. So if you're a car guy, right now go to rockauto.com and check out all the parts available for your car. You're going to have so much fun looking at car parts. So once more, go to rockauto.com. No promo code needed as their pricing is already that good. When you order, make sure to tell rockauto.com that you heard about them on Can't Get Right. Rockauto.com. All right, let's get back to the show. I do remember... That's Jeffrey Katzenberg, right? The guy
Disney Katzenberg. Guy.
So that's his great ideas. He also invests in the fucking Young Turks. So the guy's got really put your money with the Katzenberg group. What a stupid idea. First of all, the name's already stupid. So when you hear it, you're like, all right, what the fuck is this?
Yeah,
and then you're like, you know the thing you do for free on YouTube? What if you pay for it so it's got celebrity?
Yeah, what if you pay for it? And like you say, if it's not what you want, it's what your mom buys you for Christmas. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's stuff like somebody's going through my mom and not to me with my money to spend things on. I'm like, why is this happening? And that's in every business, dude. It's amazing. That venture capital thing.
It's almost like socialism. Because, I mean, socialism fails because, like, we know how to spend our money better than some uninterested, corrupt government apparatchik does. So if I'm going out and buying a laptop or something, I'm going to get a much better deal. I'm going to get the one that's exactly right for me. If I'm getting it bought by some like government apparatchik, they're going to buy me a shit one and they're going to pay loads of money and loads of money is going to get wasted and go to corrupt.
How much? Because people that don't have, I mean, I think people kind of maybe have a vague notion of it, but how socialist aspects of England sound so much more socialist. And I don't know what you mean by social. If you mean like you're in the Marxist sense of the word, or do you mean like? I guess you don't mean like social welfare or social democracy, because that's what UK is, right?
Socialism is basically the government providing services instead of the free market.
So, like, you know how we have healthcare here. I don't know if you've ever been here and had an injury.
Yeah. But
I write for Jimmy Dore now on his, so I'm doing his show yesterday, and we have this thing, and I forgot about this. I had really good insurance through the Writers Guild.
Right.
So I didn't experience this, but this is what you pay out your ass for private insurance. And there's a thing called surprise billing. So if you need surgery, the doctor can recommend some anesthesiologist, their choice, and who's not in your network. And then their fee's like $1,000 for a thing that would normally. And then they can send you this bill like 6-7 years later, just saying you think you owe them $1,000. And they were about to pass. This is back when Trump was in. A bipartisan end surprise billing provision, which was going to make it where it wasn't even that much of a standing up to them. It was it was more like just you, the patient, don't get bothered. If somebody goes out of network and you're unconscious, they work that out, and that doesn't involve you. So at the last minute, another bipartisan group led by I can't remember the Democrat's name. They took it apart, make sure that it didn't happen. We can't even have. Like, was it Medicare negotiate drug price. We're not even, like, they can't even pass a law that says our shitty private insurers can negotiate. That's how entrenched, and then they just fucking brought, and that's how all this insane, I don't know if you've ever seen how we advertise drugs on TV, the batshit. It's been around so long that it just fades into the background, but
yeah.
If you stop, the reason I started to think about it at all again was because the me and Kyle were doing a Meghan and Harry thing, the Oprah interview. And I don't know if you saw that, but it was sponsored by like brain pills every 5 seconds. And then Prince Harry would talk about his mental health and then like, oh, right. Brain pills. Like, no, oh, way. Synergy. Oh, do you think you might have a brain problem? Well, brain pills. And so it was such a neat package of all that. But all these Europeans watching it, because it's the, you know, royal whatever, they're like, wait, you guys advertise drugs on it? They all had their minds fucking blown.
Yeah, yeah.
You would allow something that insane. That's like the, you know, that's what ends up happening with all these things privatized. Like, it's not.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm not saying the private sector is great for everyone. Healthcare is a classic example of an area where socialized healthcare actually makes sense because, you know, it's one of those ones you get surprise spike things. So, you know, if you don't need it, and then when you need it, it's like £500,000. Yeah. And, I mean, if you look at the actual bureaucracy and the administration costs of assessing claimants and, you know, doing all the insurance calculations, America spends more per head on all that pointless, useless, valueless bullshit than we do on, like, providing the actual healthcare per head. So it's insane. Yeah, so
that's everything
socialized
now.
Socialized healthcare actually reduces a lot of costs in the healthcare system and provides a better service to the people. I mean,
that's why
problems.
It's unacceptable. Now you see why we can't. Why we absolutely
yeah. But man, like a lot of stuff just doesn't work. Provide. I mean, some things work really well provided by the government. So an army. We can't all have our own private army. We can't all have our own private roads. That's like we can't have toll. Imagine if you had to pay stop and queue up at a toll booth every time you wanted to drive on a different road. It just wouldn't work.
So in China?
Government provides the roads. You know what I mean? Stuff like that makes sense to be provided.
Yeah, right.
By
no, I want them to do their stuff. What happens is these companies get so big, they become their own countries. So they become
exactly. You got venture capitalists. Venture capitalists right. come in and they are like the socialists. So socialism is like, you know, saying, oh, this is what you want. So, you know, Quibi comes in and this is what you want. It's like, no, I don't want that. That shit.
He teamed up with, I think, Sheryl Sandberg. I think it's the lean-in lady in him. I could be wrong. Which
she's Facebook. She's Facebook vice president or something.
Yeah, these people, they're so god-awful. But what they're going to do is make a... That's why all these, like, socialism or capitalism, they're, like, meaningless to me. I think everybody thinks too much that an economic system is going to, like, fix it. Like, that's like a... If you have other problems in order, you could probably make any kind of fucking system work. It depends, like, what's your level of trust with the people that it's going to be administered, right? You know, like, if you have a thing where people feel like they're invested in it, everything's this mysterious. You know, some of these dictators in these countries where they're like, oh, they had their elections. And sometimes the election actually is straight up fair. We're like bombing people and they rally around a guy that maybe they didn't like so much. Because they're being attacked. Yeah. Like how everybody rallied around George
W. Well, look at Hamas getting elected. And
the goal is, a lot of these places, that's the goal, is to keep it like that all the time.
Yeah.
Somebody on top is like, yeah, no, we want these like crazies to be the face of this thing. And everything's set up to constantly be fighting each other. And like the thing that you're saying, see, you have a show called Right Wing Comedian. And you just said the most communist American thing you could say about healthcare.
No, it's not communist. It makes sense. I'm just a pragmatist. You know what I mean? So that makes
it's just
me
a relative.
I believe in just everything. You know, the most efficient solution, and most of the time, that's people having freedom and the private sector providing things. You know what I mean? And people having the freedom to start a business, minimal government interference. Small government, lower taxes. Like people misunderstand what right wing means these days. They think, you know, you want to build concentration camps. When I don't want to build concentration camps because that would be state spending.
Well, I am left wing and I'd like to build them for the unvaccinated. they need to be separated in an Australian style Aborigine camp for their fucking... Have you seen that? Australia?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I was actually stranded in Australia for the first lockdown.
You were?
In Western Australia. It was great. It's so nice. Like, because they had lockdown, but like, if you're locked down in London, man, you can't do anything. Like, it's cold. You know, like, all the stuff happens inside. So yeah. In Australia, it was great. I was just going to the beach every day, going climbing in the mountains. Oh. It was just, man, amazing place. So yeah. You couldn't go to the pub, but you could go and do other stuff.
Yeah, well, that hits people where it hurts, like not being able to go to bars. Like, if you have a lot of, I can't believe, dude, UK, like, you're talking about people have 5 or 6 drinks. Like, I just did a show that was a disaster not long ago where they had the intermission where everybody goes and drinks.
Yeah.
Like it's something different culturally, because I forgot in UK, like, people hold alcohol. I couldn't believe how much alcohol people held in their bodies. I mean, it's the Irish. Well, the Irish, like, everybody in the UK I saw drank, like, I didn't even know humans could do. Like, yeah. Like, you hear, I don't even know if it's true, but you hear, like, the pilgrims had to just drink beer because they didn't have any good water. So, like, yeah. Like, is that possible?
That's why they drank it in the mines and in the steelworks here, because they didn't have clean water. So they drank, I mean, it wasn't as strong as, like, you know, the beer you get now, but it kept the water clean. But then your liver exploded when you're 50.
You know, what do you need with a liver?
Yeah, but that's retirement age anyway.
Did so you're on Sargon's thing, Lotus Eaters, which all the people I like, I've seen you. He's got like 3 new people on there that are like very interesting that I watch, and they were talking. This is something I didn't know, because I'm not super well read in all the Marxist theory, like from my art school days. We didn't do a lot of it, but. I didn't realize, because, you know, they hate the working class now. You're like, why do these people hate the working class? I didn't know about all the neo-Marxist kind of it was like, oh yeah, the proletariat, you can't rely on them, they're not going to do what you want, so it's going to be the dictatorship of the enlightened. And I didn't realize, like, if you're at a certain level of owning everything, like, all these things seem just fine for the little people to you, you know? Like, yeah, people don't need to make any more money. Like, I've already made all the money. Like, Howard Stern is on. I already was all the edgy. So we don't need to have edginess anymore. Like, there's this, like, arrogant thing they all do. Like, and everything here going on here now is closing the door behind you. So, like, gifted and talented programs get taken out in, like, cities because they're, like, racist, but that's a way a lot of gifted and talented kids got move up the class structure.
Yeah
It's like close the hatch. All of them are doing that, and so it's like that they're, it's like a, I don't know, it's such a puppet show to me. Like, it feels like being a sucker to give any of any left right here. It's so up down here as opposed to left right, and it's a way that I never saw, like, in UK, I saw more. People didn't seem very racist to me when I was there. I didn't, like,
you. No, it's definitely less overtly racist than, like when I was in America. I was working as a door-to-door salesman in Indiana. So this I was young. This was in the 90s. Selling? Aerial photographs of people's houses, like whole neighborhoods and stuff. It was fun, man. We were just going around knocking on doors and, like, doing a spiel and all the rest of it. But yeah, sometimes people would be openly racist because they thought, because I'm white, I must be racist. And I wasn't used to that, man. I mean, you get racist in the UK, but they kind of sniff you out first. They don't just come straight out with racism.
Well, you're in Indiana.
They ask you a few teaser questions. But yeah, this is in Indiana. So New York.
Okay, because I used to be a Jehovah's Witness. So I go knocking on doors. I never had anybody start saying racist things to me while I was doing Jehovah's Witness work. That's
I had people... there was a woman who was like dropping the N bomb in front of me. I was like, "Whoa, you know what I mean?" Because that was like, I mean,
so they hear you talk first, so they're like, "Okay, this guy's Scottish, right?" In their head, they're like, "This guy's from the country." Like, it's almost like a thing of like, "I know what he'll enjoy." what did they hear about Scotland? Like, giving me a Scottish guy, just launch right into it. Don't even look both ways. Guys, let's take a quick break and talk about Johnny Apple CBD. Do you use CBD? I use CBD whenever my back is not good. I found it very helpful personally. And if you're a fan of CBD and you have to stock up on CBD, you should do it at Johnny Apple CBD, where they have ultra-high purity lab-tested CBD. Here's some products I would like to tell you about. Nighttime gummies. They utilize CBN to knock you out better than NyQuil or Benadryl ever could. Discreet disposable vaporizer devices with different effects. Perfect for on the go or at a concert. They have tinctures you can put in your coffee to reduce the jitters. Johnny Apple CBD has everything, and you can save 20% off with the code KURT, K-U-R-T. That's Johnny Apple CBD. Go to jacbd.com, jacbd.com. Five letters, J-A-C-B-D. Promo code KURT and save 20% off store-wide. Okay, back to the show. How old were you roughly?
19.
Yeah, that's it was an old lady, you said?
No, it was an Irish woman. And I think she was Irish. And she was, yeah, like not old, like maybe 30s. So but she's talking about the neighborhood. So but she just dropped the N-word straight away.
Did it sound like in Gangs of New York when the guy screamed, "Father, there's an N-word in the church"? Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah.
Hit him over the head. Gangs of New York. That was a great and terrible movie at the same time. So you're here for that? How long doing this, knocking on doors? It sounds like you were like
a Mormon. Summer. I was out there for like 4 months, something like that.
So
it was fun. And then I lived in Vancouver, which was very woke before woke was like invented.
Yeah, Vancouver was one of the ground zero
Kind
of nidus of infection of that. When I was in UK, I keep wanting to say England, I say UK, like I give a shit.
Yeah.
It was, just for example, interracial dating was not like, it's not like it's a thing here so much, but it is kind of compared to in England. It's just a more normal thing. And, and more not like an, like, that's how I was like, oh, wow. You could tell a huge difference. And also it seemed like if here we just say black, but there somebody would be giant Nigerian or Jamaican.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they would have also kind of British first, which you don't, America's a little different. Like people are America second kind of.
Right.
Because
Americans really identify as whatever their granddad was. It's mad. Like, I mean, so many people in America are like, oh, I'm Scottish too. And it's like, no, you're not. You're definitely American.
Yeah. There really is some innate weird thing that people have for like needing a king and all that bullshit. Like inside. People need that. So,
but at the same time, people like, man, because this was in the 90s. So it was before sort of wokeness and, you know,
there was like a mini Ice Age epic of it then, when before that movie PCU came out, there was a whole like Nora Dunn, you know, wouldn't protested SNL because Andrew Dice Clay was on and all that shit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And it got to be at a certain point, everybody got sick of it and it got overthrown.
Yeah.
But it didn't have all this venture capital behind it the way it does
right,
now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because America used to be. I remember went to see Independence Day in Times Square in New York. So this is New York. This isn't like, you know, some sort of redneck place or whatever. Like, and not there's anything. I love like going to the redneck places, but like when the film finished, bear in mind it's about fighting Martians or something. Everybody in the cinema just started chanting USA, USA, USA. It was great, man. It was such a positive moment. I was like, man, I want to be American. You'd never get people in Scotland doing that. They're just miserable.
Oh, my God. Bugs. Oh, Jesus Christ. Dude, I used to work at The Wiz, an appliance, you know, it sells, like, computers and TVs and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they play that every day, Independence Day, on the big TV. And like,
would that not do you nothing?
Do the corniness of that. Like, every flaw of that movie.
Punches the alien in the face.
This is welcome to... He says, welcome. What does he say? Welcome to Earth.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's so dumb. And then he finds like the president's wife and his stripper fiance and her son. They meet up somehow. and then he happens to run into all of them, and then the fucking president the president flies a jet fighter. It does sound awesome.
That's
now that
right. Yeah.
Now that I'm saying it out loud, it does sound incredible.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it sucked, but I'm like, wait, this is, sounds pretty good. yeah. So now, because I'll see all this like BLM stuff on going on, it seemed to me when I was there, if it was more like the racial shit was like to anybody kind of Arab or Somali.
Because like they're the guys who blow themselves up on our public transport. So, you know, there's
Somali
a bit of,
or is there a specific country like
Muslim. Muslim. I don't know what specific country or whatever, but you know, people are like, it's Islamophobic. It's like, man, like, look what's happening in Europe. Like, the attacks we have there's that concert in Manchester that, you know, all these little girls blown up. They're watching Christina Aguilera. Who's the other one?
The one that
went out with Pete Davidson.
Ariana Grande,
yeah. And, man, I'm just like, you know, have you got political aims or whatever? Like,
I forgot. Yeah, you know what? I forgot. England has a lot of fucking. In fact, I guess they have a history getting terrorist bombings going back to IRA shit.
Like,
you have a lot of like little 9/11s, like.
But the IRA, at least the IRA had a sort of, you know, defined specific political aim, and they had a political wing. I mean, it's terrible what they did, but. You know, they didn't just do it out of pure venomous hatred for a way of life, for you know, for freedom and liberty, and like so the Islamist terrorists, which are who are all completely exonerated and excused by the woke left, you know, because they're blowing up, you know, white people who are the enemy. You know, they get a complete pass by the Guardian and everything. So it's not just the terror attacks, but we've had. Like two decades of grooming gangs in, you know, Rotherham, Rochdale,
that's
Oxford.
Thing. Do that right
and
in particular.
So they see, and it's not like all Muslims are in it. It's like a particular, demographic of Pakistani Muslims. But they see white women as subhuman infidel whores, and to me that's a bit racist. You know, as racist and sexist. So the woke left shouldn't approve of it, but the woke left. Approve of it, tried to cover it up. The Labour establishment covered it up because they're worried about losing Muslim voters. They're worried about community cohesion. Right. They're worried about people becoming racist when they found out about it. By covering up, they made the problem much worse. So these grooming gangs are operating. And we're talking, you know, the scale of this is just insane. And they're, you know, they're grooming children, like children in care, the most vulnerable children in society. And you know, we've got Labour MPs, got left wing MPs tweeting saying, "Oh, these." The victims, these grooming gangs, should shut up for the good of the nation.
Who do you remember?
Yeah, that was I can't remember her name, but like she's a Labour MP, and she tweeted that the grooming gang victims should shut up because they're causing racism or whatever. I don't know how anybody can look at all this and then be like, "Oh, you're Islamophobic." It's like, yeah, like who wouldn't be afraid of this? Like horrific stuff going on.
That's my point. Was that's where it seemed more of the shit was with than like any kind of black or white. It seemed much more like that was it.
In America, you know, you got people, black people were taken there as slaves, whereas in the UK, they're invited here. So there's less of a
That came across. What I took was there's such a class thing there. I didn't really like there's such a class thing there where it's okay. Is it really worth? It's almost like what you would hear about England and India in colonial times, like the kind of arrogant, like yeah. So a few of the comp, you know, like they're doing it in England to like the lower, you know, whatever we got. Basically, what every government does, which is who we throw into the volcano, you know, sacrifice. Who are we going to sacrifice? You know, and that's what breaks down. So a lot of people are fighting to not stop the volcano sacrifices. They're like, no, sacrifice. So that it seems so class-based. Like, well, these girls are trash, and then what's the community worth compared to something?
Exactly. Exactly, man. And like, and cultures always have like a shaming stool. So, you know, you see it on Twitter now, instead of, you know, having public executions and a shaming stool, we've got Twitter where somebody posted something that could be perceived as racist when they were drunk. So now they're going to get fired from their job.
Well, I mean, how much do you have to be, have to drink to be considered drunk over there? Like, beyond more than his lunchtime six beers.
Yeah. That was the mad thing about going to Vancouver, because I'm not a particularly heavy drinker or anything, and I moved to Vancouver and people were like, oh my god, you need to see, you've got a problem and you need to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm like, man, this is a Tuesday afternoon in Scotland. This is not, you know what I mean? In Scotland, yeah, you're literally stepping around pools of vomit on the pavement. I'm not saying that a drinking culture is a good thing, but I was surprised in Vancouver people drank.
I don't care if it's a drinking, like, I'm for, can you hold your drinking? Can you hold your liquor culture? Like,
yeah.
And I don't give a shit what you do when you're drinking. But if you're not shit-faced having to deal with drunk people, because I don't really drink that much, yet. Like, I forgot. Yeah. How absolutely irritating it is here. I didn't find it that way in UK at all. People were like, I could converse with them still.
Yeah.
Guys, we got to take a quick break so I can talk to the responsible adults out there over the age of 21 living in states where Delta 8 is legal. Do you want to get high, legally high, in a place where you can't legally get high? Well, now there's the time to go to yoDelta.com where you can stock up on high-quality, lab-tested Delta 8. What's Delta 8? It's the part when they take the CBD, which doesn't get you high. Okay, it just makes your muscles high. It doesn't work on your head. They separate the other part that does get you high, and it's called Delta 8. So if you're over the age of 21 living in the majority of states where this is legal, go to yoDelta.com and stock up on Delta 8. At yoDelta.com, you can find a mix of gummies and vapes for all of your getting stoned needs. I can tell you that Delta 8 works if it's lab tested, quality Delta 8. I mean, you should take it responsibly, obviously. What is that on me? What are you, an adult or not? Have some Delta 8. YoDelta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of the Gas Digital Network. If you use promo code GAS, you're going to get 25% off. Once more, that's promo code GAS for 25% off Yo Delta, home of the Delta 8 that will get you super high. I also think, you know, you are selling Islam a little bit short because don't you think maybe, though, at this point it is our last defense against intersectional feminism? I feel like when push comes to shove, Islam will be...
That's a weird thing.
Hey, let me put it this way, okay? It's like an Independence Day. I bet you... Radical Islam will be the Randy Quaid in the crop duster that flies up the asshole of intersectionality and blows it up from the inside. That's what I am.
Yeah, like my Muslim friends are like, my mate Louis, he's like, he sees all this, you know, LGBTQ for against Islamophobia and stuff. And he's like, man, when we take power, he says, when we take power, he's like, we are taking power. Man, we're not gonna turn around and have Islam for LGBTQ. You know, he's pretty open about the fact that, you know, his culture is quite.
But where is he from though? Because it depends on the culture. Because you go
Egypt.
I don't know if Egypt's like that. I know Kuwait.
Egypt's not particularly like that. But I mean, it's a lot more like that than New York is.
Yeah, I was always trying to find cot in New York. If I on bodegas, if anybody was from Yemen, I'd be like, "Can you give me cot?" I one time a friend from Eritrea was at the cellar, and she gave me a couple of cot leaves, but I don't think it was enough.
Is it good?
I don't know. Somali boat pirates can't be wrong.
Oh, you've never really had it.
Not properly, no. I was told it by a comic a long time ago.
This comic, really good. Benny.
Yeah, he was telling me the story. He's in this bodega. He sees all these old like Arab guys chewing on like a plant, and he asked them, and they like come back late. I think they thought he was Arab. He's actually Israeli or kind of Sephardic. You know, he's like darker plant. So he came back and he said they gave him a plant and he chewed it and he said he was up for like a day. That's how you do that piracy. That's when the plans right. fall apart, as you run out of cot.
Right.
It's wild. I had a guy that I was on the shows with out there. I probably told this before, but he became it's like 2010, 2011. He wouldn't want to be a singer. I liked him a lot. This guy QB and his brothers were good guys. Everybody shit on the Somalis and the order in the pecking order of bigotry. I would keep in touch with people on Facebook when I was on all the time, and his started to get really religious. And then he goes, I replaced my Somaliland flag with the black flag of the Islamic State today. But this is like before it was like a thing. It was a black flag. So years later, I keep seeing like, what is that? I'm like, oh, that was his. So he joined ISIS. I think he joined ISIS.
Did he actually join ISIS?
I mean, he had that thing about the black flag of the Islamic State up before I ever even put it together that ISIS was that, which I probably should have pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been tempted a few times to join. Sometimes I think the wrong side lost in the war with ISIS.
Well, I mean, it's listen, there is like a huge reason for the refugees and all that is I think this is like part of it of like, yeah, we're going to have to absorb these people because we keep blowing them up. Like the people in charge, like, look, we keep blowing them up and we have to like make it up a little
bit. It's not really us though. It's Putin.
It's like what?
Russia went and saw an opportunity to destabilize Syria. So they sided with Bashar al-Assad, propped him up while he's bombing and chemically gassing his own people.
Dude, I don't think he gassed them at all. I remember I had Aaron Montague on talking about it, but I remember this from back when Obama was in and they had the red line that he swore we would have to go do something if he's, then they're like, he used chemical weapons. Are you going to cross the red line? So his intelligence reported him. Obama was like, I'm not going over there unless you tell me it's a fucking slam dunk. And that was the direct quote. They go, it's not a slam dunk. So that shit was fit. There's no reason that he would do that.
Oh, there's every reason he'd do that. Man, that guy's a total barbarian who's totally losing control of his own country. So
we're fighting like, Al-Qaeda there.
He nearly toppled. Al-Qaeda. He was only kept aloft by Putin, basically provided arms and support and troops. So Putin wants to destabilize Europe. So, you know, for him, I mean, that refugee crisis basically precipitated Brexit, which broke up the European Union. And at the moment, he's doing it on the border with Belarus and Poland. So Belarus, which, I mean, it's not Russia, but it's in the Russian
NATO?
Federation. Belarus.
Are those NATO countries, Poland and...
Poland, yeah. But Belarus is in the Russian Federation. So, they've been flying refugees to Belarus to send them to the border, promising them safe passage to Germany and onwards to the UK. So they've been flying refugees into Belarus, taking them to the border and basically saying, you've got to get through that border. And Poland's got all its troops there saying, no, you're not coming into Poland. So they're totally, you know, enforcing the border. And the refugees are just being used as pawns and, you know, left in this sort of no man's land.
Listen. I'm sure all that's happening. Ultimately,
no, I mean it's front page news. It's not a conspiracy theory.
But what I'm saying is, like, ultimately, the whole fight between Putin is whose fucking gas pipeline can run through where. That's why Libya. That's why we had to go destabilize Libya and all that shit. It's because he was going to go off the petrodollar. I don't believe any of them giving a shit about people's human cost. Like, I don't ever buy that now. Like, I've lost any faith in that. The very idea that, like, you know why China's like becoming like a major power right now, and really with their own kind of colonizing that they do, but they do it better than we do because they just don't blow the people up. They make them debt slaves, and it's all the same kind of corruption.
And then take their ports and their airports.
Yeah, but they just don't like tell them how they got to run their lives and all that. And a bunch of them sign up for it, and then they want. Then you get in debt. That's what all of them do. That's the classy way to call it, rather than blowing
it's like
people.
Modern life.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's. Yes, it's all you could all see the same pattern over and over again. And so that's the big fear is. Here in America, you can't imagine how Russia crazy people got over what sounded like nonsense, like all the stuff you just described about Russia sounds like somebody who lives closer to Russia who's going to get more stuff that maybe would affect them than here. And the, in fact, did you just see the, I think on 60 Minutes, I never heard of this girl, but she leaked documents about that Russia was trying to interfere, but, and her name's Reality Winner, and she worked for, that's a real person's name. I just heard of her now, and she leaked some document that was like, it said Russia was open interfering in our election, but I think it didn't say this stuff that, I think it kind of actually fucked with their Russiagate narrative in some way.
Right.
And she got some crazy harsh penalty. I don't know. I just heard of her now. I don't know why they hired someone with pink hair named Reality Winner. Yeah. Okay. But nothing in the article is about why the fuck she's named Reality Winner.
Oh, no, it does. It's saying her father playing on the family name. So the last name is always Winner. To explain they wanted a real winner.
Well, she was in prison for treason, if that's winning. Okay, look, will you click that? Why she? I just want to hear, like.
A story about someone named Reality Winner has to start with the name. Her father, playing on the family name, explained he wanted a real winner and sold reality. Maybe that still doesn't make sense, but it is the least baffling fact in this story. Reality Winner became an infamous name in 2017 when she was accused.
Who said he wanted a real winner? Maybe that doesn't make sense. Here's what doesn't make sense. How do you work at the NSA? I don't even understand. Okay, press play.
Accused of espionage. She was hit with the longest sentence ever imposed on a civilian for leaking classified information to the media. Now released, she spoke with us. Did Reality Winner do exceptionally grave damage, as the prosecutor said? Or did she reveal a truth that
fast forward this a little bit.
Air Force kindness, the 26th.
That
whoa.
Our mission had a very high civilian casualty rating.
She began to feel guilt while battling illness, depression, and the eating disorder bulimia. She left the Air Force, had seen, she printed.
A plain black sedan came up behind my car, and two men in polo shirts came out and introduced themselves as FBI agents.
A transcript shows the FBI agents told her the interrogation was voluntary.
Wait, what she leaked.
Mention her assistants about what you
did. Did she remind you why you leaked it?
Would you have told the judge?
That I thought this was the truth, but also did not betray our sources and methods, did not cause damage, did not put lives on the line. It only filled in a question mark that was tearing our country in half in May 2017, and that I meant no harm.
But there was harm for her.
Does she remind you of the chick that was this gun safety person on the set of the Alec Baldwin movie?
Her or Tonya Harding?
Yeah, like, she just sounded so... I think the thing that she revealed wasn't really like a bombshell. I don't know why I never heard anything about her until just now. It seems like crazy. I mean, that could mean deliberately you're not supposed to hear about it, but... What a strange, remember Chelsea Manning, who leaked all that stuff about Iraq?
Yeah.
And I read all kinds of op-ed. And at the time, I remember not being like, oh, it's good you did that. Now I'm like, of course it's great that they did that. Like, I can't believe I didn't. The stuff that was leaked is unbelievable. We killed three non-combatants for every insurgent was their casualty rate. That's not a good ratio.
No.
That only came out because of that. But somebody would, the editorial's like, why would they have someone who's unstable in that position? And I mean, the NSA is like, oh, this chick with pink hair is perfect, named Reality Winner. Is this like someone's kid or something? Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
I bet you this is like somebody's like niece or some shit.
Well, yeah, she's probably got a family. She didn't just like arrive in a like parcel from outer space.
Well, anyway, here's my point. I don't trust any like intel about anything. After that 20 years of bullshit, like any narrative I'm going to assume is pretty flawed that I'm getting. All right, you can click out of it. I forgot how we got on that. So wait, you're doing comedy 12 years, right?
Yeah.
How in England, like how long do you say, would you say you're doing it before? Like you just get like some award from the state or like everybody I met.
Like everybody and the state controls a lot of, in Scotland it's even worse. So the main comedy clubs in Scotland, the Stand, are owned by the Scottish government. Not like this, like sort of state owned as in owned by like, you know, the government, the civil service, owned by the party that's in power. Imagine if like the top clubs and like the Comedy Cellar or whatever was owned by the Democrat Party. You know what I mean? So then nobody can go to the comedy clubs and slag off the Democrat Party. You know what I mean? You're not going to any Trump supporters playing the Comedy Cellar. So that's what it is in Scotland. So I'm not welcome there. But yeah,
that
man,
seems
they've got
wild.
They got Arts Council funding. And I just feel like the Arts Council basically get people's taxes. They get my taxes. I pay tax. And they get my tax, and then they like dole it out to whoever can fill in forms. And it's bullshit. Like, comedians aren't form fillers.
That's my favorite part of the thought of that.
Last thing comedians should be doing is filling in a fucking form. We should be the opposite of a form filler. And, you know, we shouldn't be beholden to any, like, government little fucking prick behind a desk with, you know, pushing a pencil. That's the opposite of comedy.
Doesn't it remind you ever used to see Flight of the Conchords when their manager would always
they
have to fill out a government contract for their biscuits?
Yeah.
That's what I imagine is like.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what I found out working for people is a pretty like small comedy world and a bunch of people go like cross over. Yeah. I guess, but if you're Canadian, a bunch of Canadians, it's like Hollywood or something to go.
Yeah, around. a lot of Canadians in London as well. Like, London's got comedians from all around the world. It's like the Olympic Village of comedy. Because, I mean, the good thing about Britain, because it's quite a densely populated country, you can make a living just doing road gigs. So you can make a
pay very
living.
Well, the spots pay compared to what they pay here. Now, on the road, you're getting paid for tickets, and that's different. But
I mean,
showcase clubs, it's amazing what you make in England compared to here. It's crazy. Like, I don't even... I guess, is that because they're government-owned? It really is like...
I think, no, they're not. I mean, most of the clubs aren't government owned. It's just Scotland's that anomaly. But yeah, I mean, they've got like different circuits here. But yeah, the sort of club circuit that I certainly do, and I do it less now because, you know, I've got a fiancé and stuff, so I don't want to be driving to Leeds. I don't want to be driving for like 4 hours and driving back and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can make a sort of all right living. The only problem is you're sort of stuck at that level. And then you got to like kiss the promoter's ass to like, you know, keep getting booked. Not for all of them, but like some promoters, they just want their ass kissed and they don't want anybody who like speaks out of line. And like the whole point about comedy is you're going to be like a bit iconoclastic. You're going to be, you know, somebody who questions things. I don't know. I just think I don't really see a future in club comedy for myself. I just want to do,
That shouldn't be, your future should hopefully be you're packing out a theater that, you know, that like.
Yeah. That's what I want to do. Like I did a solo show last night, and it sold pretty well. Well, I mean, it was free entry, but then we do a bucket at the end. But you make more from those. Man, one guy gave me like £50. I don't know what that is in dollars. Probably like $80 or something.
Yeah, it is. It's
so yeah,
like $90.
Yeah, I've made like doing those solo shows where I just let everybody in for free, and then people give me money on the way. I made over £1,000 last month.
Like super chads. like live super, super chats.
Yeah, I need to learn how to do that, man. Because like
everybody's converting, like dude, to a stripper. Like everybody's a kind of stripper now. We
like a rubbish OnlyFans.
Yeah, that's the model that over here everybody is gonna has to be like each other's butler on the side, like everybody's got this side job. Like, all right, hey, we gotta wrap it up. I have to do my live show. But what do you got to promote, man? Anything?
Yeah, just my YouTube channel. You can find me on YouTube. There, Leo Kearse. And I post videos like mostly talking to the camera, or I do political stuff. I ran for election and stuff, but I post funny videos sometimes. I post stand up, but it's my YouTube channel's doing well.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious to me thinking of like the other thing called right wing comic. Like I just imagine that must have gotten you like it's. It's such a hilarious thing that really shouldn't be a automatic you're bad, but it's like for some reason that is like, I don't know, like an iconoclastic thing to have because so it's just fucking crazy now. Thanks for coming on, dude. I appreciate it. I check out the Lotus Eaters podcast. I like it a lot because he has a good variety of people on talking about shit. Like the one guy, he's something on Marcuse that was very interesting. The one dimensional man, or you know how they're like the critique part's always good. They just don't have a solution.
That does
sum it up.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on. And tell me your website again.
Leo Kearse. If you search Leo Kearse, Scottish comedian, like I'll come up. There's you don't even need to spell my name right. Leo, Scottish comedian. Then you'll see my YouTube, you'll see my Instagram, you'll see everything.
I wonder, I wonder if people, how much people are going to need subtitles to, you know, like I've,
man, they can't, I don't think, I've been in London so long, like I talk in a way that people can understand me.
In London, I couldn't understand people that had just British accents. This kid went on. I couldn't understand. I was like astounded how much I couldn't. I made out the words rice and peas at one point, and that was it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was fucking amazing. All right, brother. Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Good to meet you, man. Take care. Because I can't get right. I can't get right. Yeah. You're listening to Can't Get Right.